High Politics with Brett Johnson. The last day of the first full week of FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, which you can hear every weekday from 2 until 3 p.m., with Matt McNeil still at 4 or 3 o'clock. Man, I'm already messing up the times there, Patrick Lilia, who's in the production booth. By the way, I'm going to confuse everybody. I'm on at 2 o'clock. Matt McNeil is on at 3. Democracy Now! Is at 4 o'clock, as I just threw everyone into into chaos, thinking, wait, now you guys move Matt McNeil to 4 o'clock? No, he's still at 3, and we got Democracy Now! At 4.
But as Chicago would ask, does anybody really know what time it is, and would anybody really care?
Ah, well done there, Patrick. I like that in there. Hey, so today, as Matt McNeil sometimes says on his show, I'm mailing it in. I got a couple of guests lined up for the program today, as coming up in just a few minutes, actually, we're going to be speaking to a familiar name you probably know of on the AM 950 airwaves. Doug Padgett, who of course was one of the co-hosts on the old Minnesota Progressive Repartee. He's going to be joining us in segment two as we're going to get an update on what's happening with Vote Common Good, and then also a big event that they have coming up at Solomon's Porch in Minneapolis next week. So stay tuned for that, and of course we'll also get Doug's thoughts on what's happening with impeachment, because he is one of the original people that said Trump should be impeached on day one. The day he was inaugurated, back on January 21st, 2017, Doug was one of those people saying Trump needs to be impeached. And unfortunately, does it not look like Trump will be removed, being that we have not enough Republicans to call any more witnesses to the Senate trial, as both Lamar Alexander and Cory Gardner, as well as Lisa Murkowski, which really surprised me, have all said they will vote against additional witnesses. But Susan Collins and Mitt Romney did vote for witnesses, or say they will vote for witnesses. That vote should be coming up, I believe, later on tonight, with the final date of when they expect to vote in the full Senate on whether to acquit or convict Trump. They've set Wednesday for that date, according to sources that are close to both Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell. But we'll get Doug's thoughts on that trial coming up in segment two. And then in the third segment of the show, we're going to be talking about several proposed changes by Republicans to Social Security. This is something that's really been flying under the radar for the past few months, with impeachment grabbing many of the headlines. But there are a number of proposed changes to Social Security which could dramatically affect the amount of benefits you get later in life, including one proposal from someone I just mentioned a moment ago, Mitt Romney, who wants to create an emergency protocol for Social Security, which is just another way for saying he wants benefit cuts to that program. So coming up in the third segment, we'll be speaking with Max Frischmann, as he is with the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. But before we get to all of that, let's cover a couple of local headlines, including some from the state legislature, because we have some drama in the state Senate that's going to be taking place tomorrow. We could have a change of leadership among the DFL minority. Tomorrow, we are expected to have a vote, and it will be by secret ballot, which is key, between Susan Kent and Tom Bach, the current Senate minority leader. And this could really change the direction that the state Senate goes. Currently, Bach is, of course, the minority leader, and he has been for quite some time, the DFL Senate leader. But he really ruffled a lot of feathers among the DFL caucus back during the 2015 legislative session. This was a time when we still had Governor Mark Dayton, who was a DFLer. We also had a Democratic-controlled Senate, which, again, had Bach as the majority leader, but it was the first year that we had a Republican-controlled House. And a lot of Democrats were not happy with Tom Bach's leadership because they felt he went behind the back of Governor Dayton and instead negotiated with the Republican House leader, Kurt Dowd, which led to a budget that many Democrats weren't happy with and was eventually signed very reluctantly by Governor Mark Dayton. And for a while, it's led to several DFLers that have wanted to see a change in leadership and seeing someone else other than Bach lead the state Senate. Well, that very well could happen tomorrow, as Susan Kent, who is currently a senator in the metro area, is challenging Bach. And the buzz around the Capitol is that she actually does have the votes to become the Senate leader for the DFL. But they do caution some of these sources near the Capitol, saying you can never underestimate the political skill of Tom Bach. But the big deciding factor could be that these are all being conducted, these votes, on a secret ballot, which means you could betray any alliances or friendships you might have, since people won't be able to know how exactly you voted on that matter. So certainly some drama tomorrow, and I expect by tomorrow night we should know whether it will be Susan Kent or Tom Bach who will be leading the DFL Senate. And if it does end up being Susan Kent, that would be a very significant change, because Tom Bach actually does represent a district on the Iron Range, which is kind of a dying breed for DFLers. We only have, I think, 3 senators in the Senate that actually represent districts that are outside of the metro area, and that number could actually go down even further due to the following story. So Senator David Tomasoni represents District 6, and that includes areas of St. Louis and Itasca County, so it's kind of northwest of Duluth is the district that he's the senator of. And he's applied to actually be on the Public Utilities Commission. Now, doesn't sound that exciting, does it? But the key point is that if he actually is appointed to that commission, that would create a vacancy in his Senate seat and a special election. And that's something Republicans would certainly try to target, being that Donald Trump did very well in northern Minnesota back in 2016. A decision on who gets appointed to the Public Utilities Commission could be forthcoming in the weeks ahead. And one more story before we head to our first break of the show. Governor Tim Walz has announced that he is not going to compromise with Republicans on holding pharmaceutical companies accountable for insulin prices, which have tripled in the past decade. So, in other words, we still, for some reason, do not actually have an emergency insulin bill in Minnesota, even though we've been talking about this for what seems like forever. And I'm glad to see that Governor Walz has kind of put his foot down and said, no, if we actually are going to pass an emergency insulin funding bill, you actually do need to make pharmaceutical companies actually pay some amount of money because, well, for gosh sakes, they've certainly been profiting over insulin prices over the past decades. So he's kind of put his foot down there. And I think it's a good way to put pressure on Republicans, because I don't think you're going to have a lot of Republican senators in the suburbs that are going to want to campaign and be asked questions about, well, why didn't you pass emergency insulin funding? We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So as a heads up, probably will not have any more open phone lines until probably the last segment of the show, because we do have 2 interviews coming up during segments 2 and 3, as we'll be speaking with Max Richmond for the Committee to Protect Social Security and Medicare in segment 3. And then coming up in our next segment in just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with Doug Padgett of Vote Common Good to get an update on what he's been up to and how Vote Common Good has been going around the country. We'll get to all of that up next here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, as you're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stick around.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for more than 25 years. My company has been awarded more than 5 national awards for craftsmanship. You won't find somebody who loves their job more than me. I've devoted my life to my family, my craft, my business, and to the people who trust me with their projects. And I'm happier for doing it. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com to learn more.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all 5 of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Better Futures Minnesota impacts the community by addressing root causes of poverty, homelessness, dependency on public assistance, and high rates of untreated trauma that often lead to incarceration. The lives of men served have been marked by chaos, violence, and loss, which contribute to feelings of devaluation, rage, and lost human potential. Healings from this trauma is essential before participants can succeed as workers, fathers, and responsible community members. Learn how you can support our efforts at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers. You've heard the shouters, the haters, the beraters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
The progressive voice of Minnesota. We're joined on the program now by Doug Padgett, who is with Vote Common Good. And Doug, every time we bring you on the airwaves, we've got to throw a little Springsteen on that bumper music.
You know, Brett, that was not lost on me, my friend. I appreciate it. That's a nice little tribute. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good song as well, since it's a sequel to some of his previous other songs as well. This one, Death to My Hometown, which is, yeah, very much a little bit of a different feel than the previous song.
Yeah, right. We could go on and on about the comparisons of My Hometown and Death to My Hometown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, so where are you right now, Doug? You're still on that Vote Common Good tour. Are you down in Iowa, it sounds like?
Yeah, we're down in Iowa. Vote Common Good's a national tour that we're traveling across the country, inviting all people, but especially religiously motivated voters, to stop the reelection of Donald Trump. So we're driving on this big bus that says Faith, Hope, and Love for a Change on Election Day. And we're pulling into Des Moines now. This is actually our second time in Des Moines in a month. Just a little less than a month ago, we ran a presidential candidate forum and leader summit here in Des Moines. And then we drove out west. We went to Denver, Colorado, to Salt Lake City, to Reno, San Francisco, Fresno, L.A., Phoenix, Las Cruces, New Mexico, Dallas, Fayetteville just last night, and now we're coming back into Iowa to be here for the caucuses. We're going to be around all weekend long before the big on Monday.
Now, for folks who aren't quite familiar with the Vote Common Good, it's basically kind of a way that you're trying to reconnect with religious voters who feel like, well, religion has been hijacked by the Republican Party, and you're kind of giving them another avenue to say that, no, you actually do have another choice. You have a way to vote for that common good.
Yeah, perfectly said. Yeah, we try to say, look, if you make the common good your voting criteria rather than your allegiance to a political party, that'll probably prevent you from voting for the Trump administration. And so we're trying to give people an out. We like to say there's a percentage of Republican voters who want an exit ramp from the Trump highway, and we try to provide them that exit ramp. And then we also try to encourage voters who would be voting Democrat and their faith matters to them to be sure that they turn out. I'll just give you a little story about that. We were in Fayetteville, Arkansas last night, you know, a place you wouldn't think of as sort of the hotbed of, you know, progressive politics or anything. And a guy walked by our bus, and on the back of our bus, we have this big thing called the Love in Politics Pledge. And it's written on the back of the bus. And this guy said, hey, I don't know what you people are up to, but whatever you're doing, it's exactly what I've been talking about. I think we need to have more people who are of Christian faith calling out to one another to vote for Democratic candidates. And so we're finding that all over the country, that there are people who are really disturbed by Donald Trump. They're really disturbed by the turn of the Republican Party. And some of them are quite comfortable becoming, Democratic voters. And then there's a whole lot of them who won't ever vote for a Democrat for whatever reason. But we like to say to them, we're not trying to tell you not to be a Republican. We're just asking you not to vote for this one this time. And that really tends to capture some imagination and to give people a sense that they have more than one choice. They don't just have to make a suicide pact with the Republican Party.
So you guys had a lot of success in 2018, getting a number of candidates who ended up campaigning with Vote Common Good actually elected to Congress. How do you think things are going here in 2020? Do you think, and this is maybe a second question, do you think whether it's the presidential candidates or even congressional candidates themselves, are they doing enough to talk about religion and not letting Republicans just have a stranglehold on talking about Christianity?
Yeah, well, you know, we'd like to say that we're not trying to ask the Democratic Party to talk more about religion. We'll take care of that part. We just want them to be candidates that are expressing the common good, and we'll do what we can to try to encourage voters to pay attention to them. And if a candidate, you know, what we're really clear that we don't want Christian candidates or anything. We want Christian voters to vote for common good candidates. Because sometimes someone could hold your faith, but really have really bad ideas about their politics. You know, we've seen that across the board. So what we're trying to do is to be an additive to the Democratic Party. Like we're in Iowa tonight. We're going to stop by the Elizabeth Warren campaign. They have an event just down the street from where we're having an event. So we're going to bring our bus by and do some support there. And then tomorrow night we'll see Bernie Sanders, and on Sunday morning we'll be with Buttigieg and with Biden. And then Tom Steyer on Monday. So we're doing all we can to sort of add, some encouragement to faith voters to know that Democratic candidates are someone they should be thinking about, especially if they've either sat it out before or they've just felt a little unwelcome. And Brett, I love the word you use, the stranglehold that there seems to be. It doesn't make any sense to anyone, right, that religiously motivated people who want to do good things in their lives or say that they do and they want to care for everyone would continue to vote for Republicans at the rate they do. So it tells you that there's an identity issue going on with voters, not just a policy issue.
Well, it's very cool. You've been getting a lot of at least some of the presidential camps on board with this as well, that you're at least stopping there, or were you kind of not invited and you're just showing up anyways?
No. We're in good touch with all of them. We're making it really clear that we're for all of the above when it comes to Democratic candidates. We're not picking one versus the other. We want anyone and everyone who's viable to defeat Donald Trump to have a shot at being the Democratic nominee. And I have my own political views, which I love to express it on the station, and I'm super progressive in those ways. But what we're really trying to do in this effort is to stop the reelection of Donald Trump, because apparently the Senate won't rise up and do that.
Yeah, no kidding.
In impeachment. So the people have to do it. Hey, and in fact, we're coming to Minneapolis on Tuesday. We're going to have an event.
That's right.
In South Minneapolis on Tuesday at 7:00. People can go to votecommongood.com and see all that we're doing. And so Richard Painter is going to be at our event on Tuesday night. All the candidates that we would otherwise be supporting for running for Congress and so on, they're all going to be in Washington, D.C. So are out on the campaign trail. So we won't have other candidates there. But, it's a great event that we do. We run these rallies, and we try to get, hundreds of people together and try to change the narrative and encourage people and keep them going. We like to say every day you can be angry, every day you can feel frustrated, but one day you can do something about it, and that day is November 3rd, 2020. So we're trying to get people cued in that a day is coming when they can do something about it. Only 275 days from now, I think it is.
Oh, that actually kind of made me feel a little bit better. 275 days. I used to do a countdown for a while, and it just got depressing when it was up above like 700 or 800. But yeah, less than 300.
Yeah, I mean it's a part of, but it's reaching the point where your food in your refrigerator will still be in your refrigerator when this election happens. So we're sneaking up on it, and frankly, we need everybody to turn out, right? Tom Perez from the DNC had an interesting statement at a debate I was at back in I don't know, whatever it was, the summertime, June, came out and greeted the crowd at the Democratic debate. And he said, "Hey, tonight, I hope you fall in love. And come November 2020, I hope you fall in line." It's an interesting way for him to posture that. But I like the idea that, we need everyone to turn out. And I think we're in a once in a lifetime election here. I felt like we were in 2016 as well, and it did not go the way we wanted it to. And I just want to encourage everyone to do what they can. We're trying to do what we can with the religious vote in America, trying to turn 5 to 15% of the Republican voters away from Trump, and then trying to encourage the Democratic voters to show up and, as I like to say, wake up, speak up, and stand up.
And you hit the nail on the head right there. Even if you get 5% of religious people who would otherwise vote for Trump not to go for him in 2020, that turns a potential Trump victory into a landslide going the other way. So I'm sure you go into this knowing you're not going to convince everyone to go against Trump. But if you can just reach out to even a few people that will change their mind about their feelings with him, that has a major, major impact.
Yeah, it's incredible. Religious voters are somewhere around 45% of the voting population, but religious voters turn out more than your average population. So they perform at 10 to 14% above their representation, which means they have a disproportionate amount of influence on who our representatives are. So we're doing what we can to try to engage that audience. We do that through media. Just had a great editorial op-ed in Time magazine today. And so, you know, we're doing everything we can in the media, local events, meeting everywhere in the country, traveling the whole country. And there's bus tours coming through Minneapolis on Tuesday after we get out of Iowa this weekend.
Yeah, that's Tuesday, 7 o'clock over at Solomon's Porch in Minneapolis. And what can people expect if they end up going to Solomon's Porch on Tuesday at 7?
Oh, it's part rally, it's part revival, it's speakers like Richard Painter, John Pavlovitz, poet Genesis B., Mia Pace, musician, Vince Anderson. I mean, it's a bit of a hootenanny. It's really fun. It's really good for people of faith and no faith at all. You don't have to feel like you're part of any kind of it's not a religious meeting. It's a meeting that wants to connect with people who think that you know, religion for them is important in their life, and we want to help them join the community of common good. So it's good for families. It's good for everybody. So we'd invite people to show up.
All right, one final question for you, Doug. This is more your political take. What is going on in the Senate right now where all of a sudden looked like, oh, yeah, we're going to call some witnesses. We have enough Republicans on board. Then we're getting Lamar Alexander saying, oh, yeah, he committed a crime. But you know what? We don't need to call witnesses. It didn't rise to the level of being impeached and removed from office. It's just unreal what's happening in the Senate right now.
I mean, it's really something. We're just we're at a subway in Iowa here at a gas stop, and it was on the news. And we were talking about that, how, you know, the argument the Republicans are making is, look, here's why we don't need witnesses, because we know he did it.
Yeah.
We're not going to change our minds if he did it or not. We just don't think it warrants removal from office. So let's just move on and have the vote, and we're not going to learn anything more. That admission, we're not going to learn anything more, is because they already know he did it. They just think doing it shouldn't cause you to be removed from office. And therein lies the battle lines, it seems to me.
It's kind of like the kid who crashes his dad's car, originally says, oh, I didn't crash the car, it wasn't me. Well, then he admits to actually crashing the car, but says, well, it wasn't really as bad as you think.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this has been Trump's playbook all along. Some of us have been saying this is exactly what he'll do. Mm-hmm. Say, I didn't do it, and then say, maybe I did it, and then say, of course I did it, and then say, I did it because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
That's what he does. I mean, that is the playbook. You've watched it for years. And mm-hmm. It's going to be no different now. And to just recognize that the current Republicans cannot seem to stand up to this person or are unwilling to means that, once again, the only way to change politics is to change the politicians. And it's time to vote them all out and vote some other people in and have some new people run for office, too. I mean, that's one of the things that struck me is I really want some new blood in the in campaigns across the country and across the board. You know, it's a little heartbreaking that we still have, at the national level, so many of the same people that have been around for decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need some fresh voices. We need some people to rise up in this age.
Yeah,
maybe that's what will come out of this.
I'm hoping so as well. And hopefully you'll vote common good as well this fall. Get some people on board
that.
All right, so that event again is Tuesday, Solomon's Porch in Minneapolis, 7 o'clock. The Vote Common Good Tour coming to Minneapolis. Encourage you to check that out. Go to votecommongood.com. Hey, Doug, good to catch up with you. It's certainly been a while.
Yeah, I feel that way too. Really good to talk with you. And hello, everyone in Minneapolis from Des Moines.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll have to chat with you at some other point coming up in the near future. Good to talk to you, Doug.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
All right, you're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. So coming up next, we're going to switch gears and talk about something that's kind of flown under the radar over the past few months with impeachment stealing a lot of the headlines. And that are some changes to Social Security, which could have a major impact on how your benefits are administered and, more importantly, the amount of benefits you actually get. So coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Max Richman. He is the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, as we're going to be talking about these proposed changes by Republicans to Social Security. But first, let's get to Art Beat for the week.
This is Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio Show, and today I'll be letting you in on a couple of theatrical events you're going to want to attend in the Twin Cities area this weekend. Tonight and tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at The Walker, catch back-to-back theaters' The Shadow Whose Prey the Hunter Becomes. Interrogating the parameters of traditional theater and their own perceived disabilities, the five performers in back-to-back theater challenge contemporary presumptions about artificial intelligence and the human mind. With this unapologetic and piercingly fresh new work, Australia's leading independent theater company returns to the Walker for a third time. Miscommunication, mistakes, and misunderstandings abound as a group of activists hold a public meeting for a frank discussion about a history we would prefer not to know and a future that is ambivalent. Storytelling, design, light, and sound thread through the mayhem until clarity emerges amid community. This back-to-back theater production contains mature content and is just over an hour long. All shows are presented with English subtitles. Tonight, stay for the Q&A with the artists. Tomorrow, they'll have ASL interpretation and audio description. Tickets are $26 or $20.80 for Walker members. Go to walkercenter.org and look up back-to-back theater The Shadow Whose Prey the Hunter Becomes. Also happening this weekend, the Guthrie Theater presents the final weekend of Jogging, conceived and performed by Hanan Haj Ali. A conceptually adventurous exploration of place, identity, and mythology. Jogging is gloriously unpredictable and presents a radical challenge to the stereotypes and prejudices that afflict global perceptions of Arab women. The story is told through the eyes of Haj Ali on her daily jogging route through Beirut, Lebanon. She starts taking notes and begins to see the streets of her city with new eyes. As she jogs, she considers the city's history of building and destruction through war and thinks about her roles as a woman, wife, and mother. She examines her dreams and desires, and she thinks about Medea. Jogging is performed in Arabic with English subtitles. Tickets range from $9 to $32. Seating is general admission. Go to GuthrieTheater.org for more information. That's Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Did you realize that Drink in the Style is available on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much every other podcast platform out there? You can listen to past episodes of Drink in the Style, or maybe download our really cool martini glass graphic, or just listen to your favorite episode again and again. But if you do, I need to ask you for a quick favor. Hop online and give us a 5-star rating. It helps others find the show and also boosts my fragile ego. Drink in the Style. It's a great way to kill Sundays or really any time at all.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around, check us out online, and when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for about an inch of snow today with a high near 34. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 25. Saturday, cloudy with a high near 37. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high around 43. Ranked Best Jazz Club in 2018 by City Pages, Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is reinventing the classic American nightclub experience. With three unique concert stages, this music-focused supper club is like no other Twin Cities entertainment destination. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is located off Moore Lake and Highway 65. Details at croonersloungemn.com. Back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, and we're joined now by Max Richman. He is the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, because among all the talk about impeachment over the past few months, there are a couple of major proposed changes to Social Security that are on the horizon that have not been getting a lot of attention in the media that we're going to be chatting about now. So, Max, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Well, thank you, Brett, and thanks for allowing some time to talk about a proposal that, as you said, hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but could have an enormous impact on many people, and those are the people that are disabled and need help more than most others.
Yeah, so let's talk about this proposed change that the Trump administration would like to make, because as I understand it, if you're someone who is on Social Security and you have a disability, you get what's called a continuing disability review every so often, depending on your level of disability, where they have three categories right now called medical improvement expected, medical improvement possible, medical improvement not expected, and then they'd like to create a new category called medical improvement likely. So can you go through and tell us what this new category is and maybe what these other categories too? Because it's kind of a lot of jargon to go through on the surface, but these are very impactful for people that live in the disability community.
Absolutely. So, we as a national organization, a committee to preserve Social Security and Medicare, we deal with Social Security and as well as the disability, Social Security Disability Program, and are concerned that with really the intent behind this new rule. It's important that there be these reviews, periodic reviews, the ones that are on the books, and you explained them very well. Medical improvement expected is one category. And those are cases that, under current law and current regulations, are reviewed every 6 months to 2 years. Medical improvement possible, those are reviewed about every 3 years. And then the last category, which is pretty catastrophic, and that is medical improvement not expected, and those are reviewed about every 7 years. So it is important to have a review process to make sure that there isn't a fraud that is taking place, and we're with that. But the current categories are pretty onerous, and adding another layer, which is what this would do, called an additional layer. It's an additional layer of review called it medical improvement likely. Pretty hard to, you mentioned jargon, this is pretty hard to define, but beneficiaries suffering from disabilities, say leukemia or severe anxiety, things like that, would be subject to these new reviews. And those claimants who are receiving Social Security disability benefits that fall into this new category, they would be reviewed in addition to all the other reviews, would be reviewed, their situation would be reviewed another time. And what this does is simply creates a new hurdle.
Right.
An unnecessary, I think, high new hurdle to continue receiving benefits. And our organization has come out strongly against making it more difficult to get Social Security disability, especially in a process that is very difficult already. And we feel this is an unfair addition to being able to receive those benefits.
Yeah, and I have a number of friends that are part of that disability community, and it's very stressful for them, and there's a lot of anxiety when they have to go through these review periods, because it's not just a quick thing where someone goes through and checks a box, then all of a sudden you're good to go. There is a lot of red tape involved, and to think that, oh, well, we need to add this extra category to prevent fraud. Well, if you want to actually get money from the government in a fraudulent way, doing it through Social Security is probably one of the least effective ways to do that.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. It is already difficult.
Right.
There are people who file for a claim. They're denied. They appeal. I read recently a lady in Pennsylvania had been waiting 746 days for her appeal to be resolved. You know, a lot of people die before these appeals resolve. This is a very strict
and that's an important
process.
Point you just brought up is that, yeah, if you do appeal, it's not like it just happens within a couple of days or a couple of weeks, as you brought up. This takes a long, long time.
Years. In many cases, it takes 1 to 2 years and sometimes a little longer. And adding another layer of red tape, and you mentioned stress. If you're disabled, if you can't get out of bed, you need more stress, to try to continue getting the basics of life through your Social Security benefits? I don't think so. And, you know, one thing that's important to realize is a lot of these people who are receiving benefits are older. There's no question that health conditions deteriorate as we get older. That's true for everybody.
And that makes that
or not.
Yeah, and I was going to say that makes that extra category seem silly. Medical improvement likely, yes.
Exactly. And beneficiaries that are undergoing continuing disability reviews, they already have one severe disability or they wouldn't be getting these benefits in the first place. And these people are often, for the most part, older, poorer, less educated, insecure in their housing situation and circumstances. As I mentioned, they're at least three times as likely to die within a year, people that are in this category, as other people in the same age. They're, if they get better, thank God they get better. But that is very, very unlikely. And the restrictions and reviews that are built into the program are very difficult. And I think it's unfair to add another layer of difficulty. You know, these people, they don't need to be forced to provide more continuing disability review paperwork, more medical records, incur an even larger financial burden in a process that is so difficult to navigate. I challenge the average person to try to figure out how this works and how to receive benefits and how to deal with the already difficult eligibility requirements in the continuing disability review program. So, you know, a good friend of Social Security, Congressman John Larson of Connecticut, who's introduced legislation to improve and expand the Social Security program, not just the disability, the entire program. He said just the other day, and I heard him talk about it, that it would be devastating to especially impacted veterans who rely on Social Security disability benefits that they've earned. They've earned. These are not something that is given to them because of the generosity of the government. They've earned these benefits. And they need to make sure they can put food on the table, keep their homes warm, have a home, and I think he's right on.
So what's the latest on where we're at with this new proposal? Is this likely to actually be implemented? Are we currently in a comment period?
We're in a comment period, and the disability community, I watched a press conference I couldn't attend because I was out of town a couple days ago. Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Brendan Boyle, a congressman from Pennsylvania who sits on the Ways and Means Committee, and representatives of the disability community spoke. So there have already been hundreds of objections in the review process. The review process to review comments, the comment period, is going to come to a close very soon. And we're trying, and I hope people that are listening will take the opportunity to make their views known so that we can have as good of and strong of a record opposing these regulations.
Just to interrupt you here, Max, where can people make those?
It's not a done deal.
Yeah, where can people make those comments, by the way?
Well, they can go to the Social Security website, or they could. We'd be happy to. We're collecting them and transmitting them. So, an easy way to have a larger impact is to send an email to our organization, if they like, ncpssm.org, and we'll bundle these together and hopefully have enough of an impact to derail this horrible new regulation.
Yeah, so what happens next after the comment period? If there is enough opposition, could they change their mind, or are they likely
Absolutely. I think it could be withdrawn. You know, that has happened many times. That's why we have a comment period. It's a sad commentary on our government that, you know, we're passing tax breaks for huge corporations, for billionaires, and yet the people that need the most help are being presented with a more difficult challenge in getting that help.
So let's talk about ultimately, I think, what this issue is, because it's not about weeding out fraud in the Social Security system. This is a complete Trojan horse towards privatizing and cutting Social Security benefits, and this is certainly a way to do that. I think that's ultimately what the goal is right here. It's not to weed out fraud. It's to find a way to slowly use that slippery slope towards going down, cutting benefits.
I think you really hit the nail on the head. Every program in government, especially a large program, is abused at some point. But to make this so much more difficult for those people who are disabled is really unconscionable. And we have been looking at proposals to cut the Social Security program for years. Privatizing was very popular, and it's still an undercurrent in our government. And what I feared when the tax cut passed over a year ago, that all of a sudden those people who weren't so concerned about the additional deficit we were going to incur, and it's enormous because of the tax cut, largest now annual deficits in history, that all of a sudden, no concern, but once there was publicity about the deficit growing, well, we're going to have to cut programs like Social Security. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to cut programs like the disability, Social Security disability program. We're going to have to cut Medicare. And that is a Trojan horse. If you want to identify something as a Trojan horse, that tax bill, I think, the enormous tax cut that benefited a very small number of people who are pretty well off, is opening the door to the kinds of things that we're seeing with these disability changes, and I think there's more to come. I fear there's more to come.
Hey, by the way, Max, we actually just got a caller that sent us a comment, and they're wondering, does that comment period actually end at midnight tonight?
I think that's right.
Wow.
I think today. I know members of Congress have written to the Department of HHS and Social Security and are urging that the comment period is extended, that it be extended. I hope that happens, but as of right now, as far as I know, that hasn't happened, and the comment period ends today, Friday.
All right, one more time. Give us the information about where people can make those comments, or at least your website if they kind of like you guys to help advocate.
I think a good way, because it's a little hard to navigate, if anybody is interested in sending a comment to our organization, we will put them all together. We're prepared to send them out before the comment period ends, if it does, in fact, end at midnight. And our website is NCPSSM, National Committee Preserve Social Security Medicare, NCPSSM.org.
Excellent. Yep, that's NCPSSM.org. And you can also send us an email here at AM950, comment at AM950radio.com, and we'll put you in touch with the folks over at the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Well, we've been speaking with Max Richman, who is the president and CEO of that very organization. And Max, thanks again for joining us on the program to talk about this story that's really been floating under the radar. It is important stuff because...
Well, I thank you for bringing it above the radar. It hasn't gotten as much attention. The press conference I mentioned with the members of Congress and representatives of the disability community That was distributed, filmed and videotaped and distributed, but it's important to get as wide of an audience as possible. So I thank you for your concern and the opportunity to be on your show.
All right. Thanks again, Max. And hopefully when we chat next, we'll have some good news to report with that. You're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. And just a couple more notes about this before we head to break. The only reason I even actually found out about this story was actually through my Facebook feed when I had a buddy who was posting a story about how he felt he was going to be negatively impacted by these possible changes. So I wasn't even looking for this story. I just happened to see it in one of my friend's Facebook feeds. So, yeah, hopefully we get some good news on that coming up on by Monday in terms of whether the administration decides to withdraw these changes. More information, again, over at ncpssm.org. And even if you're not someone who's disabled, you know exactly what this is as we're talking about. It's that slippery slope towards cutting Social Security down the line, which won't just affect people with disabilities. That's going to affect absolutely everyone down the line if we end up going down this slope of having cuts to those Social Security and Medicare benefits. Got a few more stories to hit up before we reach the end of the show, so we'll get to all of those coming up next on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
The British are coming! Hey, you there! I'm Paul Revere. The British are coming! Where is everyone?
Ben Franklin dispatched the evacuation warning on Facebook. Didn't you get it?
Hi, I'm Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If your marketing is behind the times, contact us today online at socialmediamn.com or at 763-244-4058. We can help your business message get dispatched and selected on social media and Google search. We offer uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions for businesses of all sizes. socialmediamn.com or 763-244-4058.
Hey, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraking host of The Bradcast, heard weeknights right here on AM 950. Whether it's photo ID restrictions, bad voting machines, or plain old voter intimidation, we will expose all of the latest schemes, frauds, and much more. Right here on The Bradcast with me, Brad Friedman.
And me, Desi Doyen.
Whatever. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, final segment of the show. So here's a story I saw in MinnPost that I completely disagree with, at least in terms of the study that they cite. They are showing this study that shows that zinc supplements don't actually help reduce the length of a cold, which I completely disagree with because I don't know if you take anything specific in there, Patrick, when you get a cold, but I swear by Zicam. I thought it was really goofy when I first heard of this thing, when my mom told me about it, saying, hey, try this Zicam stuff. It'll actually help reduce the length of your cold. And it actually worked for me. The number of times when I've gotten a cold, I take this Zicam at the first sign of that cold. And guess what? I'm usually healthy within a couple of days. So I'm going to say that's I'm not agreeing with that study by this Finnish journal that says zinc supplements do nothing for you when you get a cold. Have any thoughts on it? It looked like you wanted to pipe in. Nothing? That's all right.
Well, not really. But I, you know, I kind of admit I'm just one of those old school people that just kind of let the cold do its thing and
yeah,
I burn off on its own.
I at least, maybe it's a placebo effect or something like that, or maybe I'm just perceiving as the fact that I get over the cold quicker, but at least for me, I think Zicam actually works. A couple more stories before we wrap things up, and this has to do with a possible change at Calhoun Square. So the new owner of Calhoun Square actually wants to divide up that mall, if you will. I don't know if you necessarily can even call it a mall. They want to actually divide it in half and then have a separate walkway that would be outdoors that would separate Calhoun Square that would be lined with different businesses. And they would also make some changes towards the rear of both of those buildings where they would add some more accessible walkways as well. So not a bad idea, since I often don't really go to Calhoun Square anymore. It just seems like the type of place that's kind of out of place in Uptown, where you don't really necessarily expect to see a mall down there. So we'll see if those changes go through. I at least haven't gone to Calhoun Square in quite some time, since they closed one of the bars/restaurants that I used to frequent with some friends of mine called The Republic, who actually does still have a location near the U of M, but they used to have a really nice location out in Calhoun Square. So maybe they'll get some more development there by making those changes. Then I want to bring up this story, which has to do with the Iron Range. So apparently 5 Iron Range colleges are going to be combining into one college, which is being driven by persistent enrollment declines being felt not just throughout, well, all of Minnesota, but especially in northern Minnesota. And this even plays into something I've been seeing in the high school hockey world, where it's also having to do with declining student enrollment. So two of the most storied programs in Minnesota State high school hockey history, Virginia and Eveleth, are actually going to be combining their programs into just one team next year, which is very sad to see in the high school hockey world, because those are two of the most storied programs, and it all goes to the fact that you are seeing declining enrollment in colleges and in high schools and in elementary schools all across northern Minnesota. So overall, if you're some of those towns up there that are voting against bringing in new immigrants or new refugees, maybe think twice about that. Because if you could actually get some new residents into your town, you probably wouldn't be having to close all of these colleges or even having to combine two of these very storied high school hockey teams into one program, Virginia and Eveleth. One final note about this, kind of humorous here if you're a follower of high school hockey, since those are both very big programs, at least in terms of their prominence. They decided to call their team Rock Ridge because there was a little bit of a dispute on which name would actually go first, if they had decided to call it Virginia Eveleth or Eveleth Virginia. They just decided on a neutral name of Rock Ridge. But that's, again, a reason why immigration and accepting refugees is not always the worst idea in the world, especially if you live in a community that is experiencing declining population. That's all the time we got for today on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Stay tuned. Matt McNeil is coming up next.